For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Back to another edition of the Night Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. We have an action-packed pod for you guys today. We're going to go over the first scrimmage of Rutgers football spring practice. We're going to go over the football portal opening. I think it opened today. Lots of names in there that are very interesting. And then we're going to talk basketball recruiting. We had a big-time 2025 recruit on campus this past weekend. We had a portal guy on campus this past weekend. And we have some new portal names that we think you guys will find very interesting that Rutgers is showing interest in. But first, our presenting sponsor is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans, are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered, from t-shirts to hoodies, drinkware to pet accessories. Be sure to check out Night and Day this year at their Rutgers Day booth from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on April 27th. Night and Day will be selling on College Farm Road with special promotions and discounts. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to stay up on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. Now, Rich, I know you can't say a ton about what you saw at the scrimmage, but overall, what did you think of the team that you saw this past Saturday?
This is where it's tricky. There's a fine line here. So, like, I will say, one of the best scrimmages I've seen from Rutgers in a while. So, I guess I could say that, right? Like, I'm not saying anything wrong. it was a good scrimmage. There was a couple standouts. Shiano's mentioned them. Moses Walker, Daryl Jabome. I always get that Jabome one wrong. At linebacker. He also talked about how important it is to have, like, Brantley and Chris Long back. Kind of consider them unofficial portal additions, because you did get the both of them back because they both missed significant time for different reasons, obviously. I'm trying to think. Oh, Kenny Fletcher. Greg also mentioned Kenny Fletcher, Al-Shadi Salam as two guys that were really standing out. And that's huge for tight end, because that tight end room
Both those guys also recently changed positions. Kenny Fletcher, like you're saying, is tight end, but Shorty changed from running back to corner. Interesting.
So, and that's huge. And if he can get, like, some corner skills down, like just the basics, his speed is going to help him a ton there. I think between those two, those were really impressive. There's a lot of freshmen that stood out too. Kosh Sanders, Benjamin Black, Corey Duff. I think he wants to go now known as KJ Duff. I know we kind of went back and forth with that one, but Ed Greer, the running back, Kevin Levy, he looked really good too. It was just a pretty good day for Rutgers, minus the news that came out at the end of the day. But that was with Kyle Monongo and Robert Longer being out for the rest of spring. I am told it's very precautionary. It's just a matter of, that's cornerback one, that's RB1, that was the leading Big Ten rusher last year. We're going to take it easy for now. And they should be good to go for summer workouts, which will start in like June, I think. So they'll be perfectly fine. So nothing to worry about there. But the scrimmage was great. I thought it was a really good scrimmage, and I'm eager to see what happens next week, this week. Yeah, this week.
Yeah, I think that's okay to say. I mean, where would you say, so last year's scrimmages, you'd say this team looks significantly better than what you saw last spring.
Yes, 100%. I, without a doubt, thought this was one of the best scrimmages I've seen since covering the team. I'll say it like that. Might be building a lot of hype up, but that's a full blown fact.
Gotcha. And obviously, you say that, and the caveat is you do have a lot of guys who are out right now, including, like you said, Manungai, like you said, the cornerback one, Robert Longerbeam, the linebacker one, and Tyreen Powell. So for the team to look that good in your estimation, with all those guys missing, is, in my opinion, bodes pretty well for things to expect next season for football. Anything else football related that you wanted to hit on? I know that Demir Shaw spoke today. Is there anything about the team itself that you wanted to touch on before we talk about football recruiting?
Not really that I could think of. Next scrimmage will be Saturday again. I'll be there. Just kind of waiting for the spring game at this point, and then we can talk about what we saw. Maybe not. I don't know how that works. I got to figure that one out. But yeah, no, I'm impressed by Rutgers so far this spring. This team has a very high potential ceiling, I should say. I don't know where you want to put that ceiling in terms of wins, losses, but I think they have a chance at getting that at double digits.
Wow. Big time expectations on the banks this year for the Rutgers football Scarlet Knights, the Scarlet Knights football team. A bit of other news that broke. It broke yesterday. Rene Conga, the Rutgers defensive lineman, announced he's entering the portal. A bit of a blow to the depth. I mean, Chiano, at his last presser, was talking about how excited he was about this depth along the D-line, and to lose a guy who's in his fourth year, I believe, in Rene Conga is a bit of a blow. What are you hearing about Rene Conga's departure from the football team?
Yeah, so like when it leaked out on Twitter, that was nowhere near official, and whoever leaked it, I forget who it was, jumped the gun quite a bit. So it is what it is. He wasn't officially leaving at that point. A couple hours later, after meeting with the staff, after discussing some things, he just decided it was best off that he would go elsewhere. The majority of that is just playing time. I know people have said, like, the first thing that people see when a significant contributor enters, it's like, poor, he's got NIL. Who's tampering with him? So, no, that's not true. It was just playing time. And if you look at his playing time last year, number one, he hasn't been healthy in a couple years now, fully healthy, I should say. But when he was healthy, he was great. But he wasn't able to get healthy. On top of that, the defensive line's kind of pretty deep at tackle and at end. I know he rotated between defensive end and defensive tackle, but he brought in Malcolm Ray, who's a grad transfer. I think Keontae Hamilton's in year 4 or 5. I can't remember, but he was a significant contributor, if not starter, for most of last season. Aaron Lewis is back. Wesley Bailey's back. Jordan Thompson stepped up last season. You'll see some of the young guys stepping up too. So it's hard and Shiano says it like almost every year now for the past 3 years. They're 10 deep, 10 plus deep at defensive line. So when you're that deep at defensive line, like, people start losing snaps. And when you're good enough to probably play at the G5, if not even the Power 5 level, and you've proven yourself, it's kind of tough when I'm only getting like my 15, 20 snaps a game. So he's in the portal. He's already got a bunch of Power 5 offers. I expect him to probably stay at the Power 5 level. But yeah, I mean, he's been in the portal for what, like 6 hours, and he's got like 7 offers, 8 offers. So,
yeah, you were saying, you know, obviously you cover Penn State as well. Penn State showing interest in him. He's got an offer from Texas A&M and a bunch of other Power Fives already. A lot of movement on his front for being a guy who is a rotational player at Rutgers. So be interesting to see where he ends up. The pain might not be here for long, though, because Rutgers has very strong connections to one of the top players who just entered the portal today. Yes. That player is CJ West, the former Kent State defensive tackle. If Kent State sounds familiar, it is because Rutgers hired a coach from Kent State this offseason. The defensive line coach from Kent State this offseason, in Colin Farrell, who developed CJ West, recruited him out of high school. He also was a high school teammate of former Rutgers defensive lineman Ryan Keeler, who sadly passed away after he transferred, but he was a high school teammate of Ryan Keeler. So a lot of Rutgers connections here. I know he's only been in the portal for about 2 hours, but where do you think things stand with Rutgers? Do you think they'll actually go after this kid?
Yeah, I think without a doubt you go after this kid. Defensive tackle has been a position at Rutgers where they've rotated in some guys. They've not really been able to fully develop a guy. Like, Keontae Hamilton, you can argue, got a little better over the years, but he wasn't like what they thought. I guess, like, you remember his freshman year, like, everyone thought he was going to be like this super stud.
Yeah, he was flashing a lot. Yep. And I think everybody thought he had a lot of room for growth because he was still wrestling at the time. Yeah. So, I mean, for those of you who don't know, like, you have to be in a much different condition to wrestle than to play football. Like, obviously he was a heavyweight, but still putting on weight when you're wrestling, not exactly the easiest thing in the world to do. Mm-hmm. So when he transitioned to full-time football, I think everyone thought, okay, now he's going to bulk up, be this monster, mm-hmm. be this disruptive guy. And that just hasn't really come to fruition yet.
Yeah. And he's been solid. Don't get me wrong, but like, he's nothing crazy that they thought he was going to be. So that's that. You lost, they've been basically just bringing in a transfer every year. If you think about it, since Chiano returned, Dwumfor, Ifeanyi Maije, and most recently Malcolm Wright, they're just trying to fill the gap at this point. And they like to rotate defensive linemen. So they would love to get a guy like CJ West, especially a guy that can actually cause an interior pass rush. That's something they've been lacking over the past year or two. So yeah, I think that'd be huge if they can get him. They're going to reach out from what I'm kind of hearing. Will they get him? They have the connections. So it really makes a lot of sense. But sometimes these guys go in the portal and they have production like he does. And it's like, hey, I'm going to offer him $500,000 to go play for a year. I don't think Rutgers is going to pay that much for a rotational defensive tackle. But D tackles are not a dime a dozen. They are hard to come by. And when you have good ones, you try to do whatever you can to keep them. So I think they reach out. We'll see if they land him or not. But I think they definitely have a good shot at it.
Yeah, and he, just for a little more context, CJ West, he was the 14th ranked defensive tackle on PFF last year out of 883 mm-hmm. qualifiers. You typically don't see defensive tackles put up a ton of counting stats, so they don't typically produce a ton of tackles for loss or sacks, but he was a guy who actually did. So last year, I believe he had, he only had two sacks, but I think he had 12 and a half tackles for loss. He had five sacks in 2021. Colin Farrell, he's developed NFL linemen. I think the second round pick of the Packers this past year ended up being a big time contributor in terms of production as a rookie on the interior. So, he's shown the proven production to develop guys, and maybe CJ West wants to spend his final year back under his old coach's tutelage. That's what you got to hope for, because if the trade is Renee Conga for CJ West, that's a big win for Rutgers.
Overall. Every day of the week.
Yep.
Yeah. Colin's built great relationships with some of these guys too. I don't think he gets talked about enough because he's so new, but like, he's building these bonds with, like, I kind of relate him to Marquise Watson in the Rutgers D line room. Like, I think he's going to be just as good as Watson. I think he's just as good a recruiter as Watson. And if he can develop talent too, on top of it all, not just have an eye for it, but develop that talent, then sky's the limit right here. And I think CJ West is the perfect fit. It makes too much sense for Rutgers right now. I hope it happens. We'll see what happens, but because I would love to see how dangerous this defensive line room would be, because if you add an interior pass rusher like him, along with Aaron Lewis, who, if he can get back to that junior year form, Wesley Bailey flashes at times, you could have a very lethal pass rush unit. And Mohamed Toure would come down sometimes. Like, you have a lot of options there for just getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was one of those guys that I've been talking about for a while. If he entered the portal, Rutgers should be all over. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how things go with that one. But definitely keep your eyes peeled on that situation, because I do think having an in is so important for these guys, especially in football, because you want to know that you're going to fit into a scheme when you come to a place. Whereas mm-hmm. in basketball, if you could shoot a three, you can basically shoot a three in any system. It's not really going to come down to whether or not you can get on the court the same way that football players might not fit a scheme perfectly. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a final guy. Obviously, the portal just opened today, so not a lot of names. But one guy I thought was worth mentioning, Anthony Johnson. If that name sounds familiar, he previously was at Youngstown State. It sounded like he was going to actually end up at Rutgers, but at the 11th hour, Illinois swooped in and landed him. He's already leaving Illinois. So he's only been at Illinois for about 3 months. He came in as a mid-year transfer. Mm-hmm. Do you think Rutgers might go after him again, or do you think that ship has sailed?
If I had to guess, I'd probably say the ship has sailed. I don't even know what you do. Like, you don't just leave like a Big Ten school like that after just getting there. Like, he did interviews with like sites back in late January. Like, they obviously knew he was like a veteran guy. They brought him in. He had good numbers. So I don't really know the reasoning behind this yet. I have to reach out to the Illinois guys to see what there is. Most of the time when stuff like this happens, I hate to say it, and I can't say this is true or not for this kid, but most of the time when stuff like that happens, they're usually getting in trouble doing something stupid off the field. And then it's like, hey, like he's gone. He's not with the program anymore. Wink, wink. He got dismissed. See you later. Yeah, so I would potentially reach out, but I think they're going to do their due diligence first and check out. I'm sure they'll reach. They might even reach out to the Illinois staff and just be like, hey, man, like what happened here? Or they'll reach out to back channels through something and they'll find out what happened. But I feel like something probably had to have happened here for a kid to get there in January and just be not just a kid, a pretty good kid, and then just to leave like that. But then again, who knows? Because like Caden Proctor's in the portal and he joined Iowa in January after being at Bama. And now he's probably going back to Bama. Like NIL plays a factor too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure there could be a number of things, but definitely not a great sign to leave a school that quickly. Let's transition to some hoops talk. Obviously, the portal is in full swing for basketball. The dead period ended last Thursday, so the action started back up. Rutgers wasted no time getting a visitor on campus for the portal, a guy we've talked a lot about the last few weeks, Jordan Durkak, formerly of Merrimack, and also a New Jersey native out of Colonia, visited Rutgers on Sunday for a day visit. He had a very busy weekend. He was at Penn State, Seton Hall, and Rutgers in the span of 3 days.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So how did things go this weekend for Jordan Durkak, and where do you see Rutgers in his recruitment?
Yeah, so it sounds like Rutgers actually was pretty confident following that visit. Did we lose connection?
No, we're good.
It says trying to reconnect up top. Whatever. It sounds like it's working. So, going back to Durkak, it sounds like they were pretty confident in how the visit went. They said it went pretty well. We'll wait and see what his decision is. But I know he said he wanted to visit USC as well. I don't know if that's going to happen. Just do the math. And, yes, I'm going to say Penn State's a local school because it's northeast. It's close to Jersey. It's 4 hours, four and a half, whatever, from Colonia where he's at. So I do think he stays in the Northeast, but the issue here is we keep hearing it's all about playing time, and he wants to be a starter as well, or at least compete for the starting spot. At Rutgers, he's probably seventh, eighth option it depends how you look at the backup big man, maybe ninth. Whereas at Seton Hall, they just lost Davis at the guard spot, so their backcourt's kind of open. There's some talk they might lose Kadari Richmond as well. Penn State has an open backcourt spot as well because Kanye Clary's gone. There's also some talk that Baldwin might end up leaving too. Now, that's not official or not either way. It sounds like they might stay now. So that's going back and forth. If he leaves, then you have zero backcourt options for Penn State. They have DeMarco Dunn, who was like a role player for them last year. But it sounds like Penn State is the favorite right now. It could change. But right now, it's going to be tough for Rutgers to land him. And I wouldn't really be too upset if they don't, because he's a good defender. He's taller for a guard. He's more of a combo guard. He can score, but he can't shoot that well, if that makes sense. His shooting numbers haven't been great. Even when he's taking threes, I think he's hitting that like 29%. Personally, I can't have that. Now, mind you, his usage was a lot. He wouldn't have as much usage at Rutgers too. So that's another thing. You're not going to get the ball as much. I think things just line up better for Seton Hall, better for Penn State, just to land him. But who knows? Maybe USC throws a bag at him because Musselman has never played clean before ever at Arkansas. So we'll see if he does it at USC.
Yep. Wouldn't surprise me. The guy is always found a way to kind of make things kind of appear out of thin air. So yeah. Definitely always a school to watch. But he wasn't the only visitor on campus this past weekend. Rutgers also had another top player in class of 2024, class of 2025, four-star Dorian Jones out of Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. He is a guy who had connections to Smoke Williamson. They got him on campus. Sounds like things went really well. Tell us a little bit about Dorian Jones' visit this past weekend.
Yeah, so we spoke with him after the – well, not after the visit. Technically after the visit. We spoke with him on Monday. But he was just really hyping up Rutgers. He loved the coaching staff, loved talking to Coach Knight, loved talking to Coach Smoke, Coach Peichel. He said he loves that he could just sit there and kind of just watch what they do and kind of learn more about them. They have so much knowledge, all that good stuff. He also said the good stuff about the recruiting class. He said Ace Bailey started the foundation, and then that once that wave hit Dylan just kept it going and then going, and now they have a top class. And he said some stuff like everyone in the country knows what Rutgers has coming, and it's going to be interesting to watch. Kind of shows the type of direction the program is. And that's kind of their pitch to these guys too. They're trying to say, hey, we know they're going to have these guys only for a year. It's going to be very exciting for that year, but we also still have to kind of build for that future. And you could be that future if you want to be that next guy to follow them up. So yeah, it just sounds like he had a really good trip. I'd argue right now Rutgers is in the driver's seat for this one. It's going to be interesting to see how this one kind of ends up playing out, because he is supposed to go to Missouri this weekend and he is supposed to go to Ohio State in early May. I'm intrigued to see if either of those actually end up happening. If it doesn't end up happening, I could see him committing on the spot. If they do end up happening, I wouldn't say I'd be nervous, because some kids do take visits and then come back to their first visit and say, hey, that's the spot I want to be at. But I think Rutgers has a really good shot right now. And he's an interesting player too, that could shoot up in the rankings, because they made hoops early season AAU thing they had recently. He lit it up. So guy to keep an eye on. Yeah, that's probably their top target right now in 2025. Him, Nigel James, that combo. And that's a hell of a combo if you combine that.
It is, because Nigel James is also lighting up the AAU circuit. I've seen more than, you know, a fair share of just articles glowing about how his performances mm-hmm. have been. I think he plays on the New York Wrens, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's where things stand with Dorian Jones. You know, Julie Donovan even said that he hears a commitment might be upcoming for him. Based on the conversation you had with him, how effusive he was with the praise. I think you told me, you know, off the pod that it was one of like the most hyped a recruit has ever been talking about Rutgers in their visit. Yeah. So,
recent history.
Yeah. So take that for what it's worth. things went really well with Rutgers and Dorian Jones. So, just stay tuned to that situation. Let's talk about a few recent portal entries now. There's a few guys that we previously had discussed as guys Rutgers should be all over if they did indeed end up entering the portal. One of those guys was Wake Forest big man Andrew Carr. He started off his career at the University of Delaware. He spent 2 years there, including the COVID year. He transferred to Wake Forest, spent the following two seasons at Wake Forest, where he put up some pretty big numbers. Rutgers has played them twice in the last 2 years. The first time Rutgers dominated Wake Forest. The second time Wake Forest dominated Rutgers. Mm-hmm. So they've had, you know, up close and personal, you know, views of Andrew Carr the past 2 years. He made a big jump in production this past year. He's from Westchester, Pennsylvania. So he's a local kid about an hour away from campus. What's the situation with Andrew Carr, and does Rutgers have a legit shot here? Will they be going after him? Let's just fill us in on Andrew Carr.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to reach out to him, or well, they have reached out to him, I should say. And it's just going to be tough to land him, I think. There's a lot of smoke out there talking to other people that he's kind of already picked his destination. It's most likely going to be Villanova. But that's one of those early favorite type things. So it happens sometimes that they don't end up in a they don't end up at these early favorite spots. So, like, I'm trying to think of one that happened recently, for example.
Cliff Omori.
Oh, yeah, Cliff, yeah. Cliff
going Paul to St. Mulcahy, John's. Paul Cam Mulcahy, Spencer.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah, you're right. Should have just known that a little better. But, so it's going to be interesting to see if this ends up being Villanova, because he just entered. I think he's going to draw a lot of interest, too. He's got good numbers. It's an ACC school. It's a good conference. It's power basketball, power four, power high major basketball, we'll say. So yeah, we'll just have to kind of wait and see, but it does sound like Villanova's the favorite as of right this minute.
Interesting. He'd be a really good pickup offensively. Very, very skilled. Andrew Carr shot, I think, almost four threes a game this year and hit like 35% of them. So he's a guy who can step out and hit an open shot. But he also had a pretty high field goal rate, especially around the rim. He shot 53% overall this year, 37% from three, 78% from the free throw line, averaged seven rebounds a game, 1.5 blocks a game, almost 14 points a game. So would be a big pickup at 6'10", 220, as Rutgers continues to look for its starting big man next year. So stay tuned on that situation. Another guy that we've kind of been beating the drum on all offseason, if they entered the portal, for Rutgers to show interest in, was Dayton guard Kobe Brea, who was the best shooter in college basketball last year. He's a Bronx native. Yeah. He shot 49, almost 50% from three last year on 201 attempts. He literally shot 100 for 201, so literally one shot away from shooting 50% from three on high volume.
It's crazy.
I do want to caveat this by saying basically everybody in the country is after this kid now. He's not going to end up at Rutgers. It was a pipe dream given the location and the need for a shooter. They are not even really going after Kobe Brea, from what I understand. But yeah. I just wanted to bring the name up because I'm sure a lot of you heard us talking about him in the past, and it's worth kind of circling back on.
Yeah, Trilly said it best, I think, recently. He said UConn and Kansas were the early favorites there. I know UConn's trying to get him on campus this weekend. I don't know if they're going to, but UConn also has Liam McNeely coming to campus next Monday. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with that guard spot. They're also rumored to be in it with that Villanova kid whose name I can't remember. I think it's Brandon or
TJ Bamba.
No, the guard. He answered like yesterday. Forget his name.
Yeah, it's TJ Bamba.
No, it was a little guard.
Well, TJ Bamba is a
Villanova
kid who just entered the portal.
Yeah, so who the hell is the kid? I thought it was Brendan something. I'll pop it up real quick. Yeah, Brendan Housen. He's like a really high rate 3-point shooter for Villanova.
Got it.
Yeah. So that could be their two guard spots right there. They're also pushing. They were pushing Dirk Hack, but that obviously moved on. But I just don't think Rutgers is going to get involved with Kobe. It's too much money. And it's same thing with Gillis, too. Like, too much money.
Yeah, Mason Gillis from Purdue, who would be a perfect fit for Rutgers, given he's a shooter, he's a tough defender. But there are guys – there's just a ton of schools that are looking to land a kid like that. Again, patience. Rutgers is exhausting every resource to find the right guys for this. And if you look at some of the best teams in the country last year, they plucked guys from the lower, low major level, D2 level, and they were productive players. You know, you don't have to go further than, you know, the Big Ten itself with, you know, Lance Jones at Purdue, Marcus Damask at Illinois. Both those guys came from the low major ranks. So we'll see who Rutgers ends up getting on campus. They are trying their hardest to kind of wrap up the portal as quickly as possible, but also be diligent as well.
Yeah. I mean, arguably the best guard in the tournament, Cam Spencer, was from low major, like beyond low major.
Before he got to Rutgers, that is. Yeah. We're not taking a dig at Rutgers, but.
No. But yeah. They have an eye for talent, so you just got to trust the staff.
Yep. Speaking of having an eye for talent, one of the 2024 signees, Dylan Grant, saw a pretty big jump in his ranking on the final 2024 Rivals 150. Rutgers now has four players ranked four stars or higher in this class because Dylan Grant got his fourth star. It seems a little strange that he got that fourth star given he didn't really play this past year, at least high school ball. What is kind of the reasoning behind Dylan Grant getting that fourth star?
Yeah, so I mean, first and foremost, this kid lit up the EYBL, lit up Peach Jam. I know there's a lot of film not accessible unless you pay significant amounts of money for it, which are most networks do, the major networks at least, and all their analysts do too. So They've just rewatched over a bunch of different tape, and they just felt that Dylan Grant is a hell of a player. Like, he's a really, really good basketball player. And Pikel and them found him pretty early. Obviously, there's connections there with the family AAU program and Coach Smoke and all that. But yeah, they just love his tape, man. He just does all the stuff, like all the nitty gritty stuff that most players don't want to do. Like, he had a game in the EYBL this year where he had like 18 rebounds. Like, that's a crazy stat for an EYBL game. Like,
yeah.
It's not just that. Like, he could score. He could kind of do a little bit of everything. He's got the frame already. Like, I think I've said this multiple times now. Like, he was in the locker room, like, late in the season, middle of the season. I forget when it was. Whenever he went on his unofficial visit and in February. Yeah, late in the season. So he was in the locker room standing next to the guys, and he's, like, just as big, if not bigger, than most of these guys. Like, he's got a really big frame. Like, he's going to play early. I don't know how much he's going to play early, but he's going to play really early. And if you look back at his offer list, it's Rutgers, Cincy, DePaul, Eastern Michigan, Loyola, Toledo, VCU. Like, Rutgers got in early, early with this kid, and now he's finishing up ranked 109 in the country. That just tells you right there, it's an eye for talent. This is just it's a really good get. And most years, this would be a phenomenal, like, headline of the class. This year, it's your fourth best player.
I know, it's amazing how far things have come. Like you said, this would have been the crown jewel in a lot of years in recent memory, but now he is not so much an afterthought, just he's overshadowed by the giants of the class, both in stature and in ranking. That's kind of all I have on the list today. We will probably have at least one more pod the rest of this week, given that the portal is spinning at a very fast speed in both football and basketball right now. Is there anything else you wanted to hit on before we head out of here?
Yeah, waiting to hear back from someone, but it sounds like we could be hearing some news later this week on the recruiting front. And,
interesting.
We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But it'll be interesting to see. So we might have another pod on that. Might have another pod on just transfer portal updates. Just kind of waiting and seeing, and waiting for my phone to ring right now, actually. So.
All right. Well, we thank you again for listening. We thank everybody who has rated and reviewed the podcast, who has followed us on YouTube. We do plan on having a live event next Tuesday with John Newman.
Yes.
Basically, it'll be a Q&A. We're going to start promoting that today. Basically, what it's going to be is John's going to join us for an event at on April 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be a YouTube live stream. You're going to be able to ask questions. Anything you want to ask about NIL, feel free to ask. He's going to just take your questions, get everything out there in the open, just to kind of get full transparency. One last push for the Scarlet Ticket. Scarlet mm-hmm. Ticket is a contest that we've talked about in the past. It's up at the end of the month. So if you haven't already, and you want to enter to win the Scarlet Ticket, you have to sign up on Knights of the Raritan for at least $10 a month, and you'll get your entry. The more you sign up for, the more entries you will have towards the contest. And, I just signed up for my season ticket renewals for basketball, and they are not expecting to have a single ticket available this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want season tickets, this actually might be your only shot at getting some for the 2024-25 basketball season. So do that, enter in. You're supporting a great cause, because this NIL collective has made a huge impact this year in terms of keeping guys around for the football program, in terms of helping get more players on campus, both in the portal and in the high school ranks for basketball. Same thing for wrestling. Wrestling was able to get an unprecedented amount of portal guys this past year, which led to its best finish in a long time, in large part due to the contributions to the collective. So, great cause. But I've trailed on long enough here, guys. We will be with you again sometime in the near future. Unsure of the date, but thanks again for listening. This has been another edition of the Airport Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.